as he was watching our producer signal that it's time to start.
John already forewarned me that I needed to be on
he
time.
He was on it.
That's because he was mixing the coffee thing.
Yeah.
He was too in tune to the coffee.
John pre-warned me, like, please focus. So
I do your job.
I like the tone that we set in already today. Anyway, welcome to the Accredited Powered by 10th Year Seniors here on Guardian Radio 96.9. I'm Ronaldo, and the first thing I have to tell you is that we got the two greatest words in sports, gentlemen. Game 7.
I'm Ricardo. In this case, the Lakers gone, so it is what it is.
I'm John Mark, and I miss Klay Thompson on the Warriors.
We got a lot to get into. Just to forewarn you, this is going to be a hoops-heavy episode. We wanted to get deeper into the playoffs last week. We couldn't do that. But this week, the playoffs is at the forefront because...
Playoffs is over for someone.
No, it's never over. That's the thing about basketball. It's never over. 12 months a year, you can talk NBA basketball. We're not going to only stick to the NBA, but that's where we have to start. So before we actually get to the conversation, Carter, do your job. Thank you, John, for the point.
John's so on point today with production. But if you want to join the conversation, telephone lines are open. You can hit us up at 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, or toll-free at 300-5720. Text lines are also open. You can hit us up at 422-GR96. That's 422-4796.
See, I was telling you, the coffee got to Carter this morning because he is just in tune with the coffee. That's why you have to have it mixed before you come in.
John is on point. I needed this coffee this morning.
I don't have any coffee. If any people that sell coffee would like to sponsor us and just, you know, send your boy some coffee on the way, I wouldn't be upset at it. Anyway, so the conversation we're about to have, what's the lead? The lead has to be this. We expected to come in here Saturday morning, bright and early.
Gloating
and celebrating the fact that Buddy is moving on to the second round. It was all set up perfectly. Warriors had a game 6 at home. Steph was going to end it. We tired of Dylan Brooks talking. Tired of all of that. Tired of Fred VanVleet getting in people's faces.
But he good, though.
Tired of Jalen Green and his nails or whatever, you know. Tired of all of it. Steph was going to end it. Buddy was going to ride shotgun as Steph was ending it. Draymond was going to teeter on the brink of being ejected.
What happened to Playoff Jimmy?
I was getting him. Playoff Jimmy was going to do Playoff Jimmy things. And then you might have had a pause, might have come in there and do something on Moses Moody. Anyway, that did not happen last night.
Mm-mm.
What happened was Fred VanVleet said, uh-uh. Steven Adams said, uh-uh. Sanguine said, uh-uh. We going back to Clutch City. And as we ended our newscast on Friday, I turned to John and I said, this is game 6. Do you have nervous energy? John confidently said, no, Warriors in 6. And I ask you again,
what do you want me to do?
Another format. Be afraid. Be afraid. Be very afraid.
I think y'all keep forgetting that Udoka on the next sideline. That boy's a good coach.
He's a really good coach.
Trust me, as a Laker fan, seeing bad coach in the last couple of weeks, he's a really good
coach. I don't
want
to get to the Lakers yet because I feel like they are going to light up the phone line. So let's stay here. Let's stay Bahamian first with Buddy, right? Oh, but on the Udoka thing. Obviously, the Celtics still went on and won the title.
Yeah.
Because that team is built to do it anyway.
But with Udoka, they would have too.
Does it make you second guess everything about the way that whole thing ended? Because
yes,
it's still shrouded in a lot of mystery. And okay, we don't really know why he lost the job. And obviously, he's still an incredible
coach. And here's the thing, right?
We know.
I could guarantee one thing. Living in Houston is better than living in Boston. I can guarantee that. So for him to be this squeaky clean kind of winter, in Houston, I know what Boston was thinking of doing.
You know, be squeaky clean. I know one thing.
No. But Houston go ride or die.
Hey.
That's the difference.
Hey, I'll just say this.
Ain't nobody blowing up your spot.
No, but then we got to realize, right? Let's be real. He's in Boston. Hiduko's skin color ain't really Boston friendly.
These people are still riding against busing in the 1980s.
Oh, God.
So, I mean, I'm just saying,
Peyton Pritchard is the favorite Boston Celtic on the team.
And they have Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown.
Exactly.
But one thing about Udoka before we move on, right? Am I living in Houston that has Nia Long on his resume? I feel like it's fishing with dynamite.
I just going to say, stats don't lie.
No, a man living in Houston that works in the NBA. There you go.
Okay, so let's take it back to game 6. It was all set up to happen, but until it didn't. And we know everything that's going on. The Rockets have given voice to the fact that Dylan Brooks said, yeah, I'm going to go after Steph's hand. the Rockets' identity this season has been to be tougher than everyone. And it seemed like you couldn't out-tough the Warriors because they got Draymond, they got playoff Jimmy. I don't know if the Warriors' bodies are going to hold up. And I never thought I would say this about Golden State, but do they have enough firepower to win this series?
In a one game, yeah.
Now, I was just about to say that. In this game seven, I feel like their history, their legacy, their expertise in these sorts of moments bears out. But at the start of the series, I thought Houston had to take it to seven to have a chance because I had no idea that they had this level of defense.
You need the third guy.
No, you need someone
to step up. You need the third guy. And this is where... The games when Buddy was the third guy,
yeah,
easy game for Golden State to win.
And it can't be Draymond. The third guy cannot be Draymond. It has to be Moutier, Kuminga, or Buddy.
What is going on with Jonathan Kuminga?
He's Jonathan
Kuminga. Are the Warriors just done with him?
I believe so.
Because he was supposed to be in the next wave of taking things over from the Steph, Clay, Draymond generation. Him and Wiseman were supposed to be the guys to move.
They just had
franchise forward.
Bad drafting, but the amount of years that they had great drafting, they just hit wrong.
But I think they had good drafting with those picks as well.
They didn't give them chance.
That's the problem. So I think after Myers left the organization, there's clearly not a plan for what's next. So they're trying to keep the pieces that they had, the Stephs, the Draymonds, and they're trying to mix in all of these young talents, the new arrivals like Buddy, to make things work. It has worked to a degree, but you can clearly see that the system isn't what it used to be.
I want to get to Buddy specifically. I want to get to the up and down playing time. I want to get to the up and down production because yesterday I think he played like 18 minutes.
17 minutes,
took four shots.
0 for 4 from 3. 3 rebounds, 4 fouls.
No, got in foul trouble early, but no impact on the game.
Mm-mm.
And of course, the Warriors are going to go as Steph goes. They are going to go as Jimmy goes. But like I said, you need that third guy. Buddy is slotted into the spot where Clay was. Mm-hmm. If he's not producing, does this team have a chance in Game 7? If Steph doesn't, all of this is predicated on Steph. If Steph doesn't go nuclear, Buddy has to be better.
Buddy has to have 15.
At least. But I think that's the core issue of Golden State. You want to focus on the up and down player, Buddy, but Steph has been somewhat up and down this series. You would have moments where he is the old Steph. As soon as he's in rhythm, it's going up. And then it's other moments like, hey, draw me a proper play. Let me see if I can get
over. All the time.
Thank you, John. That comes along with age. We saw it happen with LA, as we're going to get to later.
Oh, boy, you pay.
No, it comes along with age, though. That's a natural progression. Look, every human being other than Tom Brady, as you get older, those skills diminish.
Sir Tom Brady.
Yes. Those skills diminish, and you need the team around you to kind of fill the gaps in spots. Vince Carter said this about dunking. He was like, yeah, as I get older, it's easy to dunk, but it's the landing part that gets me, right? So Steph could still have those Steph moments, and we've seen him have those Steph moments, but there are going to be times where it's more difficult. This is why they got Jimmy Butler. This is why they got... I'm not saying Buddy is the shooter that Clay is, but he's one of the best shooters of his generation, one of the best shooters of all time. That's why they brought him in that slot.
No, I think the Warriors are learning the hard way just how special Clay was. I think somewhere along the line, they thought Clay was just, we put him in the best position to be. We could put anybody in that position. Now you're quickly realizing that.
What people didn't realize with Clay was his defense was elite. Yeah. And you didn't really see it because it wasn't always a focus, but he had elite defense.
Yeah, but Clay was also a shooter. You didn't have to do a lot to get him in space.
Yeah, he didn't dribble the ball.
Yeah. And that's what Jimmy is always telling Buddy now, because that's the problem.
We've been telling Buddy that on national team for years to stop dribbling the basketball.
I mean, get him an elite point guard then.
Again, you can't...
Eric could dribble.
The rhythm in Golden State has always been, you don't need an elite point guard. You don't need a defensive point guard because you have Steph Curry. Now that Father Time is catching up to Steph, all of these issues are now... ran their head.
And it's only as not just he was good with that. I don't think it's only time catching up with Steph. Also Draymond. Like there was a time when Draymond used to give you something on the offensive end. And if you tell kids this, they will not understand. But I promise you,
he was a shooter.
In the before time. Hold on. In the before time, in the long, long ago, I remember game 7 against Cleveland when LeBron led that 3-2 comeback.
Yeah.
And Draymond was suspended. Draymond scored like 35 points in that game 7.
I gotta watch the
clips. I am telling you, they lost, but Draymond was carrying that offense.
I don't remember
that. No. You need to watch Draymond. You need to watch his college highlights.
No. Michigan State Draymond was different.
Yeah, but he took
that. I don't remember giving an NBA.
He took that into the NBA.
Wow.
Yeah, look it up.
He was crazy.
He knew what his skill set was going to be. And actually, it's not a bad thing because this is how you stick around the league for 10, 15 years. You find your niche and then Draymond you ride with it. I think Buddy has that, but I'm at kind of my wit's end trying to figure out what it is. I don't know if Steve Kerr, because we know Steve Kerr likes Buddy. He does. I don't know if he just tries to move on too early.
No, you touch on it earlier. He's trying to put him in that exact mold that he had Klay Thompson in. Buddy needs scripted plays, at least two or three a quarter, that if he doesn't get a shot off of it, he needs some sort of other creation, some other motion coming off the ball. That's what he needs.
I also think his leash is very short, too, because of Moses Moody.
Yeah, no, it's short, but see, remember, Buddy's best success in the NBA was when he was able to run off screens, not dribble the ball, but catch and shoot.
Yep.
That's what you have to do. I know Klay, they used to do that with Klay a lot, but it almost seems like now with Jimmy and Steph, they go to this ISO ball up, because you'll be watching the game, and it'll be like, instead of trying to push the ball up and run a play, you have someone clapping in the back. Hey, give me the ball.
And the play stops
and right there. And just, it dies. That's the problem, I think, with the Warriors right now.
So how does it change in Game 7?
Buddy scores 15.
Oh, wow.
I think he needs more than that.
He needs a minimum 15.
Yeah, I
21 need to see. Would be nice.
He can get 15 if Steph has the Steph game and Jimmy has the Jimmy game.
No, yeah. No, but that's what I'm saying. Like, at the bare minimum, if Buddy puts up 15 points, he did his job.
What he really needs
three
to
steals. Do. Three steals.
Not just that. His three-point shot needs to be efficient enough to space the floor, because the entire Warriors offense is predicated on ball movement and spacing.
But then
now that you have the guy like Jimmy Butler that can slash, that can play in the mid-range game, you need Buddy to space the floor.
But then when you watch them, everyone hovers around the three-point line, even Draymond. So the spacing really isn't there anymore. Because even when you see it, and I know Buddy is just run crazy, 8 Mile Rock, just run. But then he'll run into a player, and he'll be right next to a player, so it doesn't really help. They have to keep that spacing. Buddy just has to go to the corner and literally run side to side when no one is around him.
Yeah, but I also think we need to give Houston credit for literally scheming their way on the defensive end to stop in Steph Curry. John touched on it earlier with Jimmy Butler in isolation. That's actually forced by Houston's defense. They have the ability to slow them down in the transition to the point that you now have to put the ball in Jimmy's hand to see if he could create some sort of progress on the offensive end. It's just not worked out this series. All credit to Ime Udoka.
And let's not forget the most glaringly obvious thing that Houston has that Golden State doesn't have. And Golden State has been getting away with it for how long? They got Steven Adams and Sengun. They have size up front. They have options.
I paused and said, size matters. It matters. It does.
This is a guy talking from experience.
So many things I want to say. There's not a player on the roster in the rotation for Golden State taller than what, 6'8"?
Draymond's a good 6'6".
Yeah.
Post is the tallest person. I think Post is like 6'11".
And he's not playing. He's not playing every game. He's not in the rotation. So yeah, 6'7", 6'6", is the tallest player for Golden State on the floor at any point. And you have to stop Steven Adams, who is not just 6'11", but one of the people we will send to fight the gorilla.
It's not even the fact that it's just Steven Adams. I keep pronouncing his name off. So
let's call him AS.
Okay.
The guy from Turkey?
He has been playing in a way that's Joker-like.
Yeah, yo, he is.
Very Joker-like.
He's that guy.
I'm trying to figure out the process of this, because I didn't see this in him when they drafted him. This is a whole new process that nobody accounted
for. He has been one of the favorites for basketball nerds for about the past 3 to 4 years, I think. Because when he hurt his ACL, it hurt all the basketball nerds. Because he's great. He's a great analytics player. And because he's Joker-like, you know what he was? He was Joker for hipsters. Because you know how hipsters like to be ahead of the curve and like to say they see the next thing coming?
Okay.
That's him. So he has been that guy. But he's looking like that now.
Right, because what he has is he has the ability for Houston on their offensive end to find a way to space the court similar to what Golden State is lacking right now. And you see that in the process and you realize that they could get quality shots up as opposed to Golden State having to rush and try to find something
and
on the move.
And if Turkish Joker hit that shot the other night, series would have been over.
Yeah.
Over. Warriors are in trouble.
I like I said, before the series, I thought if Houston had a chance to advance, it would be in a Game 7 in Houston. And I hate
what
to say
what time is that game?
I think it's tomorrow at 7:30. I think it's the last game.
8:30? Why do they make these games so late?
You think 8:30 is late?
Yeah. It's a Sunday. It should be a 3 o'clock game.
I think I have some of the game ones in the East starting tomorrow.
Yeah, no. See, here's a rule that should happen. No series should end or start before the first round ends. That should be a rule.
You can't make that rule.
I'm making that
consistently
rule.
Consistently in the
Eastern Conference. It's too tough, though.
These first two rounds go by like that because the talent just ain't there.
Yeah, but at the same time, if you had this game yesterday, tomorrow at 3 o'clock for the Warriors, and then you have a 7 p.m. Pacers-Cavaliers game, then it's cool.
Yeah, but then you also run the risk of that team that
eliminated. You staying up to 11 p.m. now?
I ain't staying up regardless. I might not watch it if it was on 3 o'clock anyway. But
you would have known what would happen at 6 o'clock.
You run the risk of that team that gets the sweep in the first round having to sit around forever while these other ones battle it up.
Just checking in with a couple of texters. First texter mentioning that the NBA is clearly scripted to have two of these pivotal game sevens, as he mentioned, the Clippers. Second texter saying the exact same thing. Clearly the script is it.
Yeah, well, you know, I know that is often the rallying
cry. I mean, that's what the NBA does.
That is often the rallying cry for Bahamian fans of anything, because obviously they cheat. I mean, it couldn't just be
that. Does it count when you trade players?
It couldn't just be that teams are evenly matched, and sometimes this is what happens when talent and people are fighting for their livelihood. You don't realize
the Western Conference literally was like four games in between the 2 seed and the 10 seed.
So you mean to tell me that over the course of 82 games, this is playing out the way we thought it was because these teams were so evenly matched and their records were so close that this is what a matchup would look like? Wait, is that the reason why they have series and not just a one-game sample size? That can't be right. They cheat. It makes much more sense to just say they cheat.
Oh, boy.
No?
I agree with you.
Okay, so we need... Listen, this right here is the most meaningful basketball game that Buddy has played in the NBA thus far.
Mm-hmm.
I think we can say that unequivocally. He had no playoff games up until last year with Philly. The regular season games. Yeah, and he only played in that one. This is an elimination game. This is a game 7. The most meaningful, and I say NBA career because he had a Final Four game. Obviously, he had the game in the national team with an opportunity to go to the Olympics. Those were big games. This is his most meaningful NBA game, so we need to be around the TVs at, what is it, John? 8:30? For this extremely late game. Yeah, but that don't mean I can't rally the people. I'm doing a thing.
You know how great
8:30 is too late, though.
You know how great this would have been if it was after church?
It would have been great if it was right after church.
Because you could have prayed for the game and then go watch the game.
You still could pray. Trust me. You know where we live. Church going on all day.
Prayer warriors.
Church going on all day. I'm sure you could find somebody who have a service going on right then. But yeah, rally around this because this is a game where we have to. But he's got to do it. But he's got to do it.
John calling 15. I
miss it minimum.
I need 18. Bro. You know what I need? I don't want to put the number on. I need 4 threes.
That's it.
Let me say that. I need 4 threes.
I need him to be a quality shooter on the court. It would eat up. If he scores the points, good. But it allows them to create the spacing that they need for the other players on that team to do what they need to do.
The thing is,
that's all I need from Buddy.
The thing is, though, he is the guy. And I love the fact that both Steve Kerr and Draymond gave voice to this. But you know what you're going to get from the big names. When he does something, like when he was the defensive spark early, that changed things for them.
That's when I knew they was in trouble, though. I could keep it a buck with you. That exact moment. Where Buddy became the defensive spark, I was like, now, hold on. Y'all let this fall too far. Too far. But shout out to do it.
No one else plays defense.
It's like, you got to have one voice. And if it's Buddy... Oh, boy.
You got to dance and who bring you. This is who you got.
Quick rebuild.
Let's go game 7 predictions.
We're going to start with the one today because Clippers, then this today, right?
No. We talking about this game here.
Oh, that specific?
Yeah.
No, but the Clippers, the real LA team later.
That's coming out of the half.
Nah, I'm going to go with Houston.
Why?
I feel like they're the better team.
Too much
defense in the post. Too much ability to score between Van Vliet. Well, too much ability to have scoring support between Van Vliet and Dylan Brooks.
Hey, you's a hater. I ride in the dime with Buddy. I don't care what the score is. I don't care who playing. I go with Warriors. And that's that.
I love John's insight on that. This, All right, so a game seven. One game sample size.
I call a gap now.
What?
It's you about the cap? Go ahead.
What do you mean?
Go ahead.
Theater of the mind. I can't just tell the people. I have to set it up. I have to weave a tapestry.
I set it up too.
Yes. Tapestries. Game seven. One game sample size. 48 minutes. Your season's on the line. When this kind of situation comes into play, I think what often happens here, the best player wins. Who has been the best player in this series?
Jimmy Butler.
Jimmy Butler has not been the best player in the series.
No.
And he realized it just now. SG's been the best player in the series.
I still think it's Steph.
Oh, boy.
I still think Steph Curry is the best player in this series. I am still going with the Warriors to win this game seven. I think Steph Curry is going to have the game, but I don't think that's why the Warriors are going to win. I actually think the Warriors are going to win because of Jimmy Butler.
Steph Curry is the best player in the series, mm-hmm. but he's not been the best performer. His production has not definitively made the difference. I think SG's has.
So, I always say there's a difference between an excuse and an explanation of behavior. Mm-hmm. I think that Steph obviously playing hurt. I think the hand is having much more of an impact that people are giving it credit for. I know he's never going to say that's the reason why.
Dylan Brooks told us.
Yeah, but this, I mean, you could look at his hand and see. And Dylan Brooks ain't even got to tell you. You could just look and Steve Kerr punting his hand. That's the kind of thing. That's what's happening. That's the reason why his production is down. But I still say in 48 minutes, I'm going to go with Steph. But I think Jimmy Butler is going to do a lot of the heavy lifting in this game.
Y'all thought he bring the heat culture to Golden State.
He better not bring the heat culture. They got sweep.
Jimmy Butler had heat culture from he was in Chicago. Jimmy Butler had it from he was at Marquette.
That heat culture has to be the most overrated thing of all time. That's all I know. Like,
it's the players. It's the players that make it. And this is exactly why they got him here. This is why he wanted to be there for this exact moment. I don't foresee a situation where they're just going to watch Steph dribble the ball out for 20 seconds on the shot clock and just hope for him to have that game. I feel like Jimmy Butler's going to have his imprint all over this, but what we really need is for Buddy to be the third guy. I think all of those factors come into play because the way basketball works a lot of times, especially with younger teams, you kind of have to go through some stuff to get there, right? You still need to be able to meet the moment. I mean, Van Vliet's been in big games. Steven Adams been in big games. Jalen Green hasn't. Dylan Brooks has been like in second round kind of games-ish.
He paid LeBron to him. That's a big year.
I mean, he just be getting in people's way. But I feel like enough players on Golden... Buddy's really the only one that hasn't been in the big game. But everyone else on Golden State, they've been there. I'm going Warriors. I'm going Warriors in this.
Like I told you, cap from start. Cap from start.
Why do you think?
Because you don't really believe that. You in your heart of heart knows that Golden State has not been the better team this series.
I don't think you have to be the better team to win this one game. That's what I think.
Okay. We'll see. We'll see.
I want to hear what callers think about Buddy and the impact that he hasn't had on this series and the impact that he can still have.
I'm going to be rude just now. They probably didn't watch a Buddy game.
Lakers out.
The playoffs over. That's how big... Start the conversation right now about the Lakers and see what happens. I guarantee you the phone line.
Well, someone could call and say Kobe.
Okay.
I've heard it all be. Kobe would have never allowed this to happen. From Anthony Edwards, Charlotte Jim.
I wanted to hold off on this as long as possible. I wanted for us to get into
Let me introduce the phone lines again before we get into it. If you want to join the conversation, we're about to dive into the Lakers. 323-6232-325-4316-325-4283. You can hit us up toll free at 242-300-5720. Text lines are also open. You can continue the conversation there. 422-GR96.
So before we get into the playoffs, right? Mm-hmm. Let's take it back, 3 months ago? Mm-hmm. When the GM for the Lakers, Nico Harrison, made a big trade.
I like what you did there.
Okay.
Pretty much just got AD. One, he must be happy now. Let me just put it that way.
He celebrated.
He must be happy. But this is what I always find funny. People say the script is in. How the Lakers get Luka for peanuts? Right?
Well, not for peanuts. They got him for Anthony Davis.
And peanuts.
But you can't ignore the Anthony Davis
yes,
part.
Yes, you can.
What?
Yes, you can.
He's a Hall of Famer.
The Warriors got more for Jimmy Butler. And Jimmy Butler is the Heat. 7 years. I mean, the Heat.
I know,
7 years old.
That's anyways, them being bad that at was being us, the GM. That, we can't call this one peanut soja.
That was us talking about the NBA cheating and the script is in. Let me tell you what Anthony Edwards say about that script.
I actually think it's a better script for the NBA for Anthony Edwards to win.
No, I agree.
I will have John say Anthony Edwards at the table the script.
Oh, go, sorry, go ahead.
He beat the hell out of LeBron.
All right, so yes, we know the Laker fandom is there's Laker fandom has been split in two since this happened, right? There are people that genuinely root for the laundry and they want whoever's in purple and gold to win because Cardo. They just love the team that much. There are people that were Laker fans that would rather see them lose because they think any success that LeBron James has is an affront to the memory of Kobe Bryant.
Yeah.
That's basically how Laker fandom is split into. I don't understand it because my fandom has changed from the point and has evolved from the point when I was like 10 years old, but that's where it is. So I don't quite get it, and I may need y'all to explain it to
me. So I've actually done a very, very deep dive on this process, just going through it, because I have a lot of people in my family are big Laker fans. I was born into a Laker family, so I was kind of molded to have this mindset.
Say it like Bane.
I was molded by it. But the problem here isn't so much so another star. It's specifically LeBron, and I kind of whittled it down to one specific moment. In the hype in the lead-up to Kobe going back into championship form and we got Pau Gasol, everybody had it in their mind it was going to be a clash between Kobe and LeBron. They were going to play in a couple of finals, and we would figure out who would be the quote-unquote best of, because Kobe's generation wasn't really a generation. It was the stopgap
between Jordan. Yeah, he never really had one.
And everybody was like, oh, y'all trying to crown LeBron, but Kobe's clearly the better player. And it was at that time when they started to do the puppet commercials.
Meanwhile, Tim Duncan was winning.
Correct. But this is what everybody had in their mind as Laker fans. Kobe was supposed to be the next person. Y'all are skipping over Kobe to get to LeBron. And that's where all of this fundamental issue started. Because what happened is after Kobe went on to win, LeBron also won titles. But everybody was expecting them to meet and settle that discussion on who was the better player. That never happened. So in Laker fans' mind or Kobe fans' mind, that proved that Kobe was the better player because he actually made it to those finals during that 3-year stretch. He lost to Boston, won against Orlando, and then came back and won against Boston. LeBron, quote-unquote, went to Miami, and they eventually went on to win a couple of titles. So everybody was like, that settles it. But LeBron kept winning titles after that. He had a couple in Miami, went back to Cleveland. He had the thriller, like it was 7 years straight, but he played Golden State. That happened. So now you have this long discussion of, is LeBron now the GOAT? And everybody going back to that same moment. But he wasn't even man enough to meet Kobe. He was not able to. That's literally the feeling that these people, like I'm telling you, I have uncles right now. It's like, nah, but he's soft, but he dunked.
You're saying the NBA scripted that they didn't meet.
Well, I'm not going to buy into that end of it. I'm just saying, like, in their minds, this is how people feel.
We're going to head to the break. When we come back from the half, we will continue to discuss this insane group of people. They need help mentally.
Payments. That's the insane group.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
I been up at Pinda and I meet him in his showroom. I said, Pinda, I just come out of a showroom in Portugal and let me tell you something, them showroom and selection ain't got nothing on yours. Man, I like this stock of porcelain, this ceramic tile you got here. What I really like is the range of sizes that come in, 8x48, 12x24, 24x24. And what I really, really like, more than the things I really like, is the price. From $275 a square foot to $494 a square foot and all in between, you can't beat that. Not even with a 2x4 from Enterprises.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Since 1989, Joker's Wild Comedy Club has been the heart of laughter in the Bahamas. But now an era is coming to a close.
Get ready for my guy, comedian Tommy Davidson, along with featured comedian Kirk Green and house comedian Naughty. Don't miss your last chance to experience the magic. May 20th through the 25th, Joker's Wild Comedy Club. Admission $3. Get your tickets now at AtlantisBahamas.com/events.
Are you looking for a fresh experience? Look no further than Fresh Market. Our store is stocked with the freshest produce, meats, and dairy, all sourced locally and internationally for the best quality. With our commitment to freshness and our friendly associates, your shopping experience is sure to be a breeze. Come visit Fresh Market today and taste the difference freshness can make.
Girl, Junior just showed me Bulla Boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good for nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bulla hair. You say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police want find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it will go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried the other day and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick around the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Welcome back to the Accredited Powered by 10th Year Seniors here on Guardian Radio 96.9. I'm Ronaldo, and I cannot wait for the second half because I have been getting a lesson in Laker fandom during the break.
I'm Ricardo, and I keep telling this man, Kobe Bryant is a basketball god. He's a basketball savant. He is the Black Mamba.
Just because he's no longer with us does not make him a deity, John.
Yeah. I'm John Mark, and Pau Gasol's greatest Laker of all time.
Oh, boy. Mm-hmm. Right.
I know what John is doing. He is trying to rage bait them. That's what he is doing. The phone is going to explode. You cannot say things like that. You can't. Okay, so, yes, the Lakers, listen, and I want to say on the front end.
As a LeBron fan.
Yeah. No, well, that's obvious. Inexcusable for them to lose that series being the third seed.
I beg to differ.
Actually, you know what? I am happy that you said
it. No, less. And this is what you always have to do when you have these conversations. Let's lay the ground rules.
Mm-hmm.
The ground rule is...
There's rules to this?
Yes.
Minnesota, not just getting beat?
Minnesota was the better team.
Yes.
Let's settle that in the debate now.
Yes.
Lakers had no defensive presence in the post and no offensive presence in the post.
You sound like the Warriors.
That was decided by the Lakers' head coach, who also, was clearly out-coached.
He was.
In this series. Those are the three ground rules.
You know how John took it back several months? We got to do that again because they knew what the deficiency was. And this is my biggest problem with the Laker front office. After they made the Luka trade, they knew what the deficiency was. That's why they tried to make the move for Mark Williams.
Yeah.
So that right there tells me that you knew what you needed. The trade fell through. For whatever reason, it didn't happen.
It didn't have to be this bad, and this is why I wanted
but
to lay the
they did rules. Nothing to address it.
They did what they could do.
Don't tell me Alex Len is addressing it, because that's not.
I'm saying that he
they
is addressing
get Kai
it.
Kai Jones.
Got to. They did not address it the way you wanted them to. They addressed it the best way. After the Mark Williams trade fell through, which I still think they should have accepted him.
They did.
I feel super good about Dalton Connect and what he could be.
Why?
Lakers, like shooters, he is the best version of a shooter. I hate to bring racing
up. But you didn't play him.
And this is the point I'm going to make to you. That's why one of the ground rules was our head coach was out-coached in this series. J.J. Redick clearly thought that he was the smartest person in the room.
I mean, I feel like he thinks he's the smartest person everywhere he goes.
Well, he's going to Duke.
That's why he thinks that.
That was the issue in the series. I'm not saying that Jackson Hayes would have made the difference with Rudy Gobert. I'm not saying Alex Len would have made the difference. I'm saying any other coach would look at that and say, I'd rather go center by committee than to not go center at all.
Agreed.
J.J. Redick determined, nah, I'd rather go no center at all, play LeBron there, even though he has a gimpy knee, play Luka there, even though he has a gimpy back, and just suffer the consequences.
Before you think that I hate J.J. Redick, right? When I used to go to school in Orlando, I went to a restaurant one time, And I saw J.J. Redick there, and I respect his game.
Thank you, John. That's very...
Just so you know, I don't hate J.J., but I respect his game.
Nah, but those are the three ground rules to have this
conversation. No, absolutely. You're right on all of those comments. Absolutely. J.J. Redick, outcoach. The moment seemed to be too big for him. And he tried to overthink rather than doing the obvious. That's a big part of the reason that they lose. And all of that, what you offered just now, incredible nuance. Those are the basketball conversations that I love to have. Those are not the basketball conversations that are had
sweating.
Those are not the ones that are had by the general public. Because at the end of the day, all of it boils down to is LeBron was 2-12 in his last.
Check his blood pressure.
LeBron 2-12 in his last 14 playoff games. That's what it was.
And LeBron is what?
He's 2-12 last 14 playoff games.
Yeah, he's lost the last three series.
Yeah, so. That's all it's going to boil down to. It does not matter what happened. You mentioned his gimpy knee. Does not matter. And in the grand scheme of things, it's not going to matter. You mentioned Luka not being healthy. Grand scheme of things, it's not going to matter. Because that's not how history is going to remember it. That's not the nuance people are going to have in the conversation.
Let's just put it here. So when Jordan lost in the playoffs...
Let me stop you right now.
It's never happened. But LeBron loses in the first round, it happens.
Yes.
I just want to clear that up. That's just why I want to clear.
Yes, yes.
Lakers fans don't give a none of that.
I know.
All I can tell
because it's championship or bust.
No, all I can tell you is if Kobe Bryant was in this exact same situation, the Lakers would have literally sweeped the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Can somebody tell me how Kobe Bryant was going to stop Rudy Gobert from getting 27 rebounds, please?
Lakers fans would tell you he would be the player in the post. He would play at center.
He's 6'6". He was 6'6".
He would play in the post and he would dominate. He had the heart. He had the toughness. He's the Black Mamba.
That's a snake.
That's only going to get you so far.
To Laker fans, we won every championship that way. We've never lost the championship. We did, but we never lost.
If you're talking about Kobe and all this, why Kobe ain't win 18 championships then?
In our minds, he did.
I don't want to make it about Kobe because I want
to... That's where the discussion is always going to go. Laker fans definitively believe Kobe Bryant is the better player. He's the superior player. He is the better scorer. He's the better rebounder. He's the better defender. Laker fans legitimately believes that.
He's not any of that.
Statistically, you and I could go down the list and find every stat that proves everything I said just now wrong.
Right.
But in our hearts and our minds, Kobe Bryant is the better player.
Okay. Here's the thing, whatever. I didn't want to make it about Kobe, but let's keep it here with the LeBron thing, right? The number one topic that has emerged from this is that his tenure in LA has been a failed tenure, and now it's time for him to retire. And I feel sometimes saying the most glaringly obvious thing is the thing that you just should say. And I don't understand. He would be the first person in NBA history to retire averaging 24, 9, and 8.
Yeah.
Like, that is ridiculous. You are still a top 10 player in this league. There's no way. And I understand the emotional attachment to losing. Emotions act right after a game causes some crazy things. Ask John Halliburton and Giannis. But I don't see how they could possibly think, whether you love or hate LeBron, I don't see how you can think that losing him is some of the path to this team becoming better.
My thing, right? And I'm just going to take it back to a Jordan thing since we talked about...
As soon as John finished that, I want to respond to what you said just now.
How can you get no MVP votes?
Who?
LeBron.
Voter fatigue.
I understand, but it's just like you say, he's putting up... If one person could average those numbers for 1 year in the league, they would be thrilled.
You know what a lot of it is too with him though? When you've been in the public eye for a long time, there's no way people are going to stick with you that long. I mean, Alfred said it the best. You either die a hero or live long enough to see yourself become a villain. Nobody is in the public eye for this long and gets universal applause and praise. It just does not happen.
No, but see, I think oftentimes where we kind of shortlist this conversation is we don't acknowledge the actual problems that exist. I'm not disputing that LeBron is having MVP seasons right now at 40 or 41 years old. That's absolutely true. That is the case. The problem a lot of NBA fans have with LeBron is this belief that he often does not, and this is a fallacy, but this is what people believe. Oftentimes he does not compete hard enough and he tries to find the easiest way out. And that's where the issue exists with a lot of NBA players. We're used to the mold of a Kobe Bryant, of a Michael Johnson, of a Michael Jordan, where people look around and it's like, the toughest player on the court was that guy. Same thing with Anthony Edwards.
But that wasn't even true.
again, I started the point. This is the policy.
Yeah, I got you.
So if you look at the series that the Lakers just finished up in Minnesota, people will legitimately look at you and say, boy, Anthony Edwards is the baddest man on that court.
Because they had a
30. He shot over 11 from three in the elimination game.
But you know why they say that? Because they have 36 men pushing LeBron.
That's it.
The ball wasn't even in play. Their favorite highlight, the ball was not in play.
It does not matter.
You realize that, right?
It does not matter.
Meanwhile, everyone's take. He could have survived the 90s.
Yes, like what?
It does not matter.
Forget the fact that he's bigger than Karl Malone and moves faster than Jordan. Never survive the 90s. You see this dude pushed him three times?
It does not matter. Because what people saw on the court was the fact that in moments where we consider toughness, where we want to measure how good a game was, there's always going to be that clip of Anthony Edwards just slapping at LeBron for no reason.
The ball wasn't in play.
It does not. Again, you're not listening to me. It's going to be 20 years from now.
Anthony Edwards planned that?
Like, somebody can tell you this was the year Anthony Edwards came out. He dominated LeBron in the first round. And people are going to, you as a basketball purist, is going to look at it and be like, bro, the dude was horrible. He shot a horrible field goal percentage. In the closeout game, he was horrible from the three-point line. And he said it in one of the post-game interviews.
He was so bad in the series.
He said that Laker fans on the sideline said, oh, but you playing like trash. You horrible. And he said to them, yeah, but I can still win this game.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. So you're saying that's
the reincarnation of Kobe right there.
People feel that way. That's why his basketball.
Would you trade LeBron for Anthony Edwards?
At this point in time, no. I feel like LeBron serves the purpose.
See,
the
problem is I feel like everyone else will trade him.
They will. And I'm going to tell you why they would trade him. Because they see LeBron as more of a headache than an actual benefit to the Lakers.
Basketball aside, I would be so afraid of Anthony Edwards in LA.
Anthony and Luka?
Not even together. I
don't know if we want to put that man in LA. That is not the
more
move.
Child support?
He
can get his shots up.
That ain't the city for him.
No, but
he can miss those ones.
That
never misses those ones.
At the core of the debate, that's where the issue is. People are going to look back at the series and say the Lakers were out physical, they were out tough, and that is why they lost this series.
But
and
to having a 7-foot-2 guy,
the one that you started with is probably the biggest glaring one. Out coached. That's a huge part of it.
Nobody is going to talk about that, especially here, because we don't look at basketball through those lens. We look at basketball through, hey, how good was the game? Who was the most standout player that you saw on the court? And then that player goes down in history for winning, which you can say. It wasn't even a good series.
It's such an awful series.
People are going to look at that and be like, best series of the first round. Anthony Edwards dominate LeBron James.
We spent a half hour on the best series of the first round. That's Rockets.
You know what? I know. Warriors. I think the Clippers.
Actually, you know what? Let's shift to the best series.
The Clippers Nuggets series is by far a better basketball series. But we don't care about that because Jokic is just going to rebound. He's going to pass the ball.
His game is so aesthetically pleasing. He just doesn't cross people over. He plays beautiful basketball.
Let's go to that series. But before we go to that series, shout out to Addy Walters, who is an assistant coach for the men's national team on the Minnesota Timberwolves staff.
Shout out to
Addy. Well, we could always find a tangential
connection to
so
the
shout out to her for helping Anthony Edwards do his thing.
You might have to fix that because
the minute he said it, you heard that brief pause all of us had. All of us was thinking about the same joke and we realized this ain't the podcast. We can't say it.
All she has to do right now is just recruit Naz Reid to the national team.
Again, I was thinking something else, but
that's your problem.
Yes.
Your mind's in the gutter.
We started talking about Anthony Edwards. 50% of his season has been about stuff that he was doing in the gutter. I'm sorry.
Fox.
Fine. Anyway, so the series that has been the best series in the first round, like you mentioned, is the Nuggets and the Clippers.
Yeah.
So this is the Clippers team that people have been expecting to see since Kawhi and Paul George got there, since Steve Ballmer decided he was going to
pump.
Minus
Paul George.
Yeah, I know. But I mean, that's the Clipper incarnation of this team that people thought they were going to see there. Right. Paul George obviously has been gone. James Harden's there now. Steve Ballmer wanted to create LA for the Clippers. They had the whole new branding. They got the new stadium. They got the logo changed and all that. They started doing the whole marketing campaign with it being their city. Has not played out that way. But the Lakers are gone. And this team has an opportunity to make a run. To do that, you got to get past three-time MVP.
And one-time
job. My favorite thing is in the group chat when it's like, Cardo will always be like, wait,
Jokic hates them.
Jokic hates them. Jokic mad. Jokic really hates them.
Let's keep it about. Let's keep it.
There'll be nothing.
He loves Jamal Murray. No,
but there'll be nothing for days, and then all of a sudden you just see, and then you got to turn the TV on and be like, God damn.
That could tell you how much I watch this series.
I don't think he likes Michael Porter.
He doesn't like anybody. No,
he likes Jamal Murray.
Oh my
Him
God.
And Jamal Murray have like a symbiotic relationship where they respond to each other without actually verbally communicating.
What it actually is that Jamal Murray is the only player on the team wild or weird enough to say, yeah, I can try and talk to him. That's what it is. It doesn't, it's not that he
and
likes
he, Jamal. And he creates his own shots.
Which is true.
But Jokic, players respect that.
I just gotta say, Jokic does respect that. But if you watch this series, it's quite clear. Kawhi Leonard is probably still one of, or if not the best player in the NBA.
He good.
People gotta start just letting him not play the regular season, right?
I know if it's just not like playing the regular season.
When they gonna let LeBron get that?
Never.
No, but I think that it's LeBron's hubris, though, because he's got to stop trying to carry them for 82 games and still believe he can do it in the playoffs. He cannot do it anymore.
That's why
Kawhi realized that years ago. I ain't doing this regular season
thing.
That's
why Miami LeBron was so great. Like, just get me in the playoffs. That's it.
Yeah. Again, y'all missing the problem with LeBron. Nobody cares about that stuff. He's not as tough as Kawhi Leonard. You see how dominant Kawhi Leonard is?
Kawhi don't even play in the regular season.
It does not matter.
You see when they all racking up all them points and getting all them rewards, Kawhi do not care.
Kawhi blocked a shot 2 games ago where he literally just went up and accidentally caught the ball.
Yeah.
And you would show that play to somebody right now and they'd say, see, LeBron can never do that.
Except he actually did it. They just didn't win the game. Remember when he made the block that was a winning play and they should have won that game?
Yes.
He actually did it. Yeah. But we're never going to remember that. But yeah. So it gets to this point and people see Kawhi do this and they forget the fact that this whole load management thing that they hate, he is
37 games he played this
season.
He's
the grandfather of all of it. And if they go on and make this run, nobody could care about fact that Kawhi Leonard only played 37 regular season games.
You know who hating this? I know he's recently retired. I think the announcement came down yesterday. Greg Popovich punching air right now. He punching air. He's like, but you know how much championships I could win if I just let this play take a break?
Yeah.
Like, he hate this right now. But no, this has been the best series fundamentally because Kawhi has proven again that he is up there in terms of the greatest players in the game right now. Jokic has proven yet again that he could carry a team despite all their flaws. Michael Porter Jr., horrible series.
Family going through a lot this year, though.
I understand that, but horrible series.
Yeah.
You have Jamal Murray. He's stepped up in a couple of moments, but Denver is clearly missing something. I don't know if Malone is needed in that locker room right now.
I'll tell you another thing about Denver that has been interesting to watch. Russell Westbrook. And I be pulling for Russ. I really do be pulling for Russ because people is carrying Russ hard. But boys, he don't help himself sometimes.
They don't.
How are we still missing layups in these big moments?
Because it's Russ. He is the J.J. Redick of players.
So
the J.J. Redick of players?
Game six.
He knows he has flaws, but he's never going to admit those flaws. He's just going to play through it.
Game six, it was less than 3 minutes, or maybe even less than 2 minutes left to go. Warriors. Nuggets cut it to six. And Jokic is so great on these outlet passes, man, because you know Russ could be running, right? He's ahead of everybody. Jokic gets the rebound. Awesome outlet pass to Russ. Easy way for the run to continue. Have a chance to cut the lead to four. Russ blows the fast break layup. Clippers come down on the other end. Norman Powell hits the three. So
that's basketball.
Right there, you got that 5-point swing, and the game was done. So it could have been cut to four. Clippers forced to call a timeout.
All he had to do was just dunk the ball. It would have been an easier dunk than layup.
What did Vince Carter say?
It's the landing.
He was already up there.
His
layup was above the rim. He literally tried to do a finger roll in front of the basket.
Westbrook, he ain't got no problem dunking.
No, he ain't got no problem. But you know what I want to talk about with this series? The greatest game that we've seen the whole playoff series when Jokic shot an air ball and Gordon slams it in for the win.
It really was.
That was, to me, that's the type of basketball I like to see in the playoffs. When it's unless it's my team, I want them to win by like 50.
This series has given you everything. I misspoke when I said the Warriors Rockets. I feel like the Pistons Knicks was also.
Oh, the Pistons was the second got best robbed series. That's that the second one game best when Tim Hardaway Jr. he was fouled,
yeah,
and they didn't call it. The script is in on that one. They want New York to get as far as they can.
Mob, bro.
That's still a thing.
It's still a thing. New York and Philly is still a thing.
Well, Philly, we see what happened to them.
Was JJ just trying to channel his inner Thibodeau? Because you know how Thibodeau is just have the same people play the whole game.
Watch Philly win the lottery, though.
Who they?
Oh, Cooper Flag?
I think the process is officially over, and I think it's a rebuild. So I think they're going to move on from...
No, they get Cooper Flag.
No, they're going to move on from Paul George and Joel Embiid this offseason.
Here's the thing. You really can't get anyone for Joel Embiid
I think Joel...
No. Okay.
why you look so flabbergasted?
Lakers.
Ooh.
You know what we would give up for Joel Embiid?
More than you give up for Luka.
I guarantee it. Okay. I get Austin Reeves, Dalton Kennard, every possible... Bronny might even be in the dream.
Never.
That's how deep we...
Never.
Were. Bro.
Never.
All we have to do is get Joel Embiid. I know JJ Redick hates
centers. Bronny got to tell LeBron that he won't go live in Philly. And they got to clear that with Savannah first.
Bro. And I don't even think he would live there. He'll live in New York and take the Amtrak down to Philly every day.
Bronny got to clear that.
Bro. But all I'm saying is that's the kind of move we could see this offseason.
All right. So that's gonna do it for us. We're talking about the playoffs. So playoffs, the actual playoffs is done. Before we get out of here, I wanted to spend some time just talking about everything I alluded to. I wanted to actually get into what happened with Giannis and John Halliburton. Because
when you said Giannis and John, I was like, I didn't do anything to Giannis.
You might. I don't know. Y'all,
no. We were
buck in Greece. No, not in Greece.
Yeah, in Greece.
That was in Greece?
Right? My favorite moment with Giannis is when VJ tried to dunk someone off in Greece, and Giannis just goes, oh, my.
Yeah.
Like, Giannis' face is just like, And you could just see that was he going to the league moment.
Maybe Giannis going to play wherever VJ getting drafted, because I feel like Giannis about to be in play. That Milwaukee thing might be done.
Yeah.
Might? It's definitely
Lakers.
So I don't know if we can pull off a Giannis move.
I'm out of that.
You would have to give up literally half the continent to make Giannis happy.
Bronny would be Bronny gone for sure.
Yo, no, listen, they already good at nepotism. All you got to do is make sure you have a spot for Thanasis.
We actually had his other brother,
Thanasis and Bronny. Boy,
you know how lit that bench would be.
No, that's a heavy rotation, bro. We can need extra seats.
No, y'all don't.
We can need extra seats, bro. If you bring out two of them,
JJ Redick only playing seven people in the playoffs anyway. You know how much seats they have.
You're going to need extra seats because we got more fans. They have the two biggest fan bases in the league right now.
So we saw what happens. Tyrese Halliburton had the series of his life, hits the game winner, and his dad, John, goes on the court and basically waves a towel in Giannis's face, starts doing the absolute most. And as a parent of an athlete, I got to say, he was looking to get his...
Mm-hmm.
block knocked off doing that. And it is so great for the NBA that Giannis is the statesman that he is, because that could have gone so much worse. And this is why
Charles Barkley.
Imagine if it was Rasheed Wallace.
We ain't got to go that far.
Edwards?
Exactly. And that is why, this is one of the reasons why he can't be face of the league among the many, because you need face of the league guy to react the way Giannis reacted. Anthony Edwards was not going to do that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, the dude almost take a Barack, so anything possible.
And nobody would have blamed him because Halliburton was wilding.
Halliburton's dad. Halliburton was wilding on the court.
He's a Halliburton.
Yeah, but I mean, we got to separate the two now because he got banned from all the games, which is a good call.
He'll be back.
He'll be back next year.
I think he'll be back.
But they'll put him in the suites.
If they make it to the Eastern Conference Finals and they play in Boston,
no.
To add that level up.
No.
I just don't. And listen, from another standpoint, I don't like what's going on now with the basketball dads, because now people are going to make this a thing because you had T. Morant and now you got John Halliburton doing a thing. Like, what are y'all doing? Like, they're going to make it a thing. Stop being the topic of the conversation.
LeBron's a basketball dad.
Did you see how much he was the topic of the conversation this
year? Stephen A.?
I see no difference there. I don't understand why we didn't basically ban LeBron after that, because if he did hit Stephen A., that would have been over. It's the same exact thing.
Last minute, game 7 predictions, Nuggets, Clippers. Carter, go.
I'm going with the Nuggets. I can't support the Clippers.
John? I'm going with the real LA team.
This disrespectful. Everything cool. I really like their arena, though. If I go back to LA soon, I'm going to watch a game at the Clippers arena look lit.
I'm taking Jokic and the Nuggets. That'll do it for this episode of the Accredited Hoops Heavy.
Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
To listen, search Not By The Playbook online or wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
In 30 Minutes, the documentary.
I'm Johannes Dell, and I've been back to my native Germany to explore what's behind a Russian New Age movement that has taken hold in the country. The followers of Anastasia want to live a simple life, but as I've discovered...